It's time for Steve Gallimore Live. For the next hour, we'll examine the world around us through news, science, and philosophy. Then we'll open up God's Word to put it all into perspective. Now here's your host, Steve Gallimore.
Great to be with you today. Our topic is The Destroyer Within. We're going to look at selfishness and fear, those internal mechanisms that destroy us. And of course, this is part of the process and the legacy of sin. Our number, if you'd like to join us on the air today, is 800-775-4673, 800-775, and the word HOPE, H-O-P-E. We try to make it easy to remember. So, once again, 800-775-4673. Now, I'd like to remind you to go to the website. This program today, along with this program every day, is podcast and vodcast. It is up there by way of video and audio. So you can have the program for later use, look at it, share it with your friends. We don't try to keep these things all to ourselves. We like to share them. We know that this enables all of us to work together to get the good news of salvation out there to help people better understand how to relate to Jesus and the world that is around us. So go take a look at those at the website, www.lifetalk.net. I know that some new ones were just put up there, so if you haven't gotten those, it is an easy way to get Life Talk programming. It's not only this program, but many other programs that we produce at Life Talk are up there also, and so you can get those and benefit from them, even if you do not have a Life Talk radio station in your area. But if you do and you listen to them or you watch this program and you say, oh, I'd like to have that, I'd like to go back and review that or share it with someone. They're all there available. We put them up every day so that you can have the most recent programs that we have done. That is www.lifetalk.net. As you know, we are all about sharing the good news of salvation, telling people about Jesus and His love. This is a donor-supported ministry, and I want to make certain that you understand that, because without your donations, this goes silent. We are not on the air any longer. We have radio stations all across the country that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, are pumping out the good news of salvation and helping people in their Christian walk and experience. But without your donations, none of that takes place. We produce many, many programs. In fact, there are 50-some programs that we have to edit and produce every week when we walk in the door on Monday morning. And in addition to that, there's so many other things that have to be done to keep an organization like this going. Well, that takes people and that takes equipment and so forth. And it doesn't happen unless all of us work together. And we want to thank you for doing your part to help by sending in your donations. Many of you have been so kind and so faithful over the years in helping Life Talk. And we would like to ask you to keep up that good support. Right now, we are running a deficit budget, so anything else that you can do to help would be very much appreciated. You can send it a donation either by going to the website, and there's a link there that you can follow, or you can simply send it to P.O. Box 3006, Collegedale, Tennessee, 37315. Well, we'll put that up for you later so that you can write that down, but that's how you can send a donation to Life Talk. Now, what about the topic today? Fear and selfishness, the destroyer from within. It is true that our brains can be rewritten, and it is also true that our brains were changed at the time of the fall when sin entered into the world. We're going to talk about that issue today, but there are some news stories that relate to the topic. And as you know, we look at the things that are in the news, and then we go back to the Bible to better understand what is happening. Well, drug addiction, this actually comes from the Arizona Market Day. It says drug addiction is a brain disease. Drug addiction is a brain disease. Although initial drug use might be voluntary, drugs of abuse have been shown to alter gene expression and brain circuitry, which in turn affects human behavior. Once an addiction develops, these brain changes interfere with an individual's ability to make voluntary decisions. Now, if you're a Christian in particular, think about that in light of what the Bible has to say. We, of course, are going to discuss what that means. But it says that it affects the ability of a person to make voluntary decisions, leading to compulsive drug craving, seeking, and use. Well, that's one thing that is currently in the news that we're going to address today. Another one from Medical News Today. Morphine is as small as a single dose. Morphine as small as a single dose blocks the brain's ability to strengthen the connections. So morphine then also messes with the brain. I think all of us know that the brain is the way that we not only control our behavior, but also the way by which we have a relationship with the Lord. And our brains, according to recent research and these news stories, there are many others, by the way, just not sharing all of those with you today, but there are many stories out there showing that our brains can be altered. As our brains become altered, of course, we can either improve our relationship with the Lord or we can harm that relationship. In short, we can become more like Jesus, or we have the choice, we can become more like Satan if that's what we choose. There are so many places in the Bible that we could go. One that comes to mind, of course, is Psalm 51, verse 5. It simply says this, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." That's a well-known Bible verse. We'll talk about that and more today. A lot to come on this program. Stay tuned, 800-775-4673. We'll be right back.
Your thoughts and comments are welcome at 800-775-4673.
Once upon a time, a young man borrowed money from his brother to start a business. A year later, the business failed, and the young man was no longer able to pay his bills. Finally, he declared bankruptcy, meaning his brother had to absorb a big financial loss. The young man asked for his brother's forgiveness, but his brother refused, and they didn't speak to each other for 15 years. Financial problems often lead to other problems. An employee who feels he's underpaid may become bitter toward his boss, or a husband and wife may divorce because of financial strife. If our financial lives are not in order, it's very likely that some other areas of our lives are out of order too. And turning things around may not happen until we're first able to exercise financial forgiveness. Jesus gave us the biblical principle of forgiveness in Matthew 6:14. If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. A Money Minute from Crown Financial Ministries.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking today about the destroyer within. Fear and selfishness, the process of sin that has taken place in our minds, and what can we do about it? Can we have an improving relationship with the Lord based on the behavior that we choose? If you would like to be part of our discussion today, we would love to hear from you. If you are on the Hope Channel, the North American feed, if you are on one of the many Life Talk radio stations spread all across the country, or if you are on the internet, this is a live program. So in any of those venues, we're live. Pick up the phone, join us on the air, and it's always great when you do that. And we can do it by ourselves, but I don't know. It just makes it a much, much better when you call in. So pick up the phone, get prepared to talk with us today. When you do, we have a gift. We can't give this to everyone, but we have a drawing at the end of the program. We have two of these we're sending out. It's a book entitled, Could It Be This Simple? Could It Be This Simple? By our guest today. He is a guest that is not a stranger to you at this point. He visits with us often here, and we have great programs when he's on the set with us. Dr. Tim Jennings, he is a psychiatrist. He is an author, a lecturer, and he does many other things as well that pertain to helping people have a better relationship with the Lord and helping them understand how the mind works. So if you want to ask him a question today or have your comments, your suggestions, the number 800-775-4673. This book will be, we're giving away two of those today, as I mentioned, and we'll do that at the end of the program. Let me throw a question out to you. We're looking for good Bible students, and let's see if anyone can come up with the answer for this. What Old Testament leader called on God's people to choose life? Choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. We're looking now for an Old Testament leader. What Old Testament leader called upon God's people to choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God? If you know the answer to that, give us a call once again, or if you have questions or comments, 800-775-4673. Our guest today, psychiatrist Tim Jennings. Dr. Jennings, nice to have you with us once again.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we are going to look at some material out of your book today. This is a great book. By the way, I should mention to our audience that this book is just really flying off the shelves. I know that you told me that the publisher has not even gotten around to the place of advertising the book yet, and that they're having a hard time keeping the presses rolling fast enough to keep up with it.
We're fortunate so far.
All right. Very good. This is a great book. It is entitled, Could It Be This Simple? And it has a little subscript to it. It says, a biblical model for healing the mind. Well, there's a biblical model for healing the mind. It's all in this book. And we're going to have the privilege once again today to talk with our guest and the author of this book about what it means to look at the Bible and see what the Bible has to say. Tim, let's go back to the beginning once again.
Yes.
We've done this before, but let's back up there once again, because that always has to be a starting point when we start talking about the nature of who we are, the nature of the human race. We go back to the beginning of time. We know, of course, that God made everything perfect in the Garden of Eden. In chapter 3 of your book, you spend some time discussing that. So it really was a balanced world at that time, wasn't it?
Yeah, and everything operated on the principle of God's character of love. The love described in Corinthians is not self-seeking, or love is interested in the welfare of others. Mankind was created to operate on this principle of beneficence, goodness, giving, freely interested in the welfare of others. Christ summed it up in his statement, greater love is no man than to give his life for a friend, which means I love you so much, I'll do all in my power for your health, your welfare, your good, including if necessary, give my life that you might live.
All right.
What happened at the fall, and I'd like to walk your readers through this, I mean your listeners through this, so if they have a pen and pencil, they might want to write this down. At the fall, lies were told about God himself. Did God really say in the day you eat you'll die? Oh no, you can't trust what he says. And lies believed resulted in the broken love and trust.
Uh-huh.
Now, just so everyone can really comprehend and connect to this, imagine husbands and wives that are listening to us right now or watching us. You're in a loving, happy, nurturing marriage, and someone whispers lies into your ear that you believe that your wife or your husband is having an affair. It's not true. It's a lie. But if you believe it's true, does your trust get broken? Does the love flow as freely in your heart as it used to if you believe your wife or spouse is cheating on you? And so when they believed the lies about God, love and trust was broken. Broken love and trust led to fear and selfishness. I no longer trust you, God. I'm now afraid of you because I believe lies about you. I'm no longer interested in doing what you want me to do. I'm interested in getting that apple or that fruit, because if I don't, you're going to take it away and I won't get my chance. So broken love and trust, fear and selfishness. Fear and selfishness fear and selfishness results in destructive acts, or the acts of sin we talk about.
Right.
And those acts of sin result in damage to mind, character, and body, a terminal condition. That's why we're sick today.
Well, let's talk about Adam and Eve for just a minute, and let's put ourselves in their shoes, or their lack of shoes. Anyway, let's walk where they were walking for just a minute here. And in the Garden of Eden, of course, God created them. The only reference point they had was the natural surrounding and their contact with God.
Right.
Those were the only reference points they had for life. I mean, they could see the beauty that God had made. And here was God telling them that he had this perfect relationship with them now, that he was the creator. The next experience that we find that Adam and Eve have contact with anything else is Satan appearing there at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
And he says to them, just as you have indicated, that, hey, this relationship that you have with God isn't really what you may think that it is. Let me share with you the inside story.
Right. And they had a choice who to believe.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when Eve chose to believe Satan, when she chose to contemplate on that and then make a conscious decision. By the way, the Apostle Paul talks about sinning in the likeness of the sin of Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Adam had a different starting point. Eve had a different starting point. They did not have those natural propensities
right.
to distrust and sin and hate and all of those kinds of things that are natural to our life. You know, at the beginning we read this text from David, in sin did my mother conceive me.
Right.
Well, obviously Adam and Eve were not conceived in sin.
That's correct.
They were perfect from the hand of the Creator. But when we see Adam and Eve now coming perfect from the hand of the Creator, it was a conscious decision on their part. They looked at that and said, you know, it wasn't anything that they had an inclination one way or the other on. If they had any inclination, I suppose it would have been for good. Yeah, but they chose to believe a lie.
Yes, and that's the key. They were deceived into believing a lie, and the belief in the lie changes you. The lie has a power. If you believe your wife is cheating on you, even though she's not, if you believe it's true, you begin acting on that belief. That changes how you treat her. It changes how you feel. Changes what you think. It changes the behaviors you engage in. So this devil's power has always been his ability to lie.
And ultimately, it actually physiologically changes your brain. Let's come back to that in just a minute, because I know you have a lot to say on that. Let's go to Canada now, and we're going to speak with Nadine. Nadine, how are you doing today? Hi, Nadine.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Good. Great to have you on the air with us.
Thank you for having me.
Uh-huh.
I was just wanted to ask a question where the doctor said that when you someone uses drugs, it affects the ability to make voluntary decisions. And my daughter, she's 16, and she lived on the streets for 7 months. And I have her home now. She's on a court-ordered house arrest, but she's using quite a few drugs, ecstasy and crack, but mostly meth, and quite heavily, too. And she's not really interested in God, but she has all this delusional thinking and these wild mood swings. I'm trying to find her some help, and I was calling different places down in the States, and I heard of this one place that helps people with drug problems to get help through something that's called biophysically.
Right. And Nadine, my apology. We're up against break. We want to hear the rest of what you need to share, but please stay with us if you would through the break, because we have to go to break. And we'll be right back. Our number is 800-775-4673. You two can call in. We have two of these books we're giving away today. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You can join the conversation now by calling 800-775-4673.
Do you reach out? You know what I mean. Intentionally talk to someone that you know is hurting and try to point them in God's direction. Maybe you see someone at work making poor life choices. Maybe it's someone in your very own church that's going through a tough time. Or maybe a total stranger that you run across that needs a helping hand. It's not always easy to get out of your comfort zone and reach out, but it's exactly what God wants us to do.
From Life Talk Radio.
What are you doing with the money in your pocket? Will you buy something sweet or throw it on the dresser tonight? Life Talk needs your financial support no matter how small the amount. If God can take even the widow's mite to do great things, what do you think He'll do with yours? God has asked us to be faithful with what He's given to us, not because He needs it, but it's to test our hearts. Will you trust God to do great things with your monthly gifts? Why not test God and see what He will do? 800-775-4673.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking today about the destroyers within. We're looking at the issues of what happens in our mind because of the process of sin as it relates to selfishness and fear. And if you have a comment or a question you'd like to ask, pick up the phone, give us a call, 800-775-4673. If you're on the Hope Channel North American feed, the Life Talk Radio Network, or the Internet, this is a live program. I have in my hand, Could It Be This Simple?, a book by Dr. Tim Jennings. And it is a wonderful book that I know if you get this, you'll enjoy it. Last time Dr. Jennings was with us, he was kind enough to give us a couple of these to give away as well. And I mentioned at that time that I let my mother read a copy of this that I have, and she did not put it down. She was so taken with this book. She really enjoyed it. So those of you that get this book today, I know that you will appreciate and enjoy this book. And Dr. Jennings, let me ask you, we have a caller on the line, and we want to finish with Nadine's question. We have Nadine in Canada that's on the line with us. But very quickly, Dr. Jennings, where can a person get this if they'd like to have it?
They can go to Amazon.com. They can go to our website, comeandreason.com. They can go to any Adventist book center, or okay. The general bookstores should be able to order it at this time if they walk in and ask for it by name and author.
All right, we're giving two of these away, courtesy of our guest today. We'll do that by way of drawing at the end of the program. Once again, Nadine from Canada is on the phone with us, and she was interrupted by the break. So, Nadine, go ahead and finish your question, if you would.
I'm just interested in some help for my daughter. She doesn't. It seems like some of the things that she's totally out of control and doesn't really seemed to have the same reasoning powers that she had before she started taking these drugs. And I was told that this biophysical sort of treatment would get the drug, like the meth, is still in her tissues and it's still recirculating through her body, and that if she was put on a certain program, that we could get this out of her tissue so she could be normal again. And I was hoping that Dr. Jennings could give me a bit of a prescription. And it was supposed to be like amino acids and vitamins and sauna, but they don't really quite tell you what it is. You're supposed to go to their program, but I can't really get my daughter across the border to go to that program.
Sure. Nadine, I know that Dr. Jennings is going to tell you that he can't treat specific cases over the air, but he might be able to give you some advice that can help.
Yeah. First off, the reality of the methamphetamines are the half-life is very short. So I'm not sure exactly what they're saying, but the idea that she still has methamphetamine circulating in her body would be incorrect. They would be cleared from her body. If she hasn't had any in the last 48 hours, they would be gone from her body. Now, the impact of what the amphetamines do in the body, however, can last for a while. The alterations in gene expression, the damage to some of the neural tissue in the brain, if you're using heavy methamphetamines, neurons can be damaged. The damage of the consequences can last for a long time, but the actual drug itself would not still be circulating in the body. Now, related to nutritional supplements that might be able to rejuvenate or clear amphetamines from the body, well, they're not going to clear the amphetamines because they're already gone from the body. The body certainly does need its normal nutritional complements, good diet, and various certain essential vitamins and minerals that the brain and body needs. And so if she's not getting those in her diet, then supplying those would certainly be helpful for good brain health. However, I wouldn't expect the idea that this would suddenly resolve her addictions problem. It would not. There would be an additional treatment that would be necessary for an addictions problem. Now, your daughter is an adolescent, which means that her brain is not even fully developed. And in adolescence, she's taken toxic substances in, which has damaged her brain further. The fact that she's having hallucinations, delusions, and other psychotic-type symptoms are a direct consequence of the substances she's been using, and she really needs to see a psychiatrist, get involved with some appropriate drug rehabilitation treatment, and she will probably need some antipsychotic medicines and some potentially other things to decrease cravings and get into behavioral modification to avoid reengaging in these substances in the future.
Does that help, Nadine?
Not really the good news that I would have liked to hear.
I'm sure that's true. And, Dr. Jennings, sometimes the result of drugs leave their impact. In some cases, I don't know if that's the case here, but in some cases, of course, it's a lasting impact that never has changed. Is that true?
Let me give her some hope.
Okay.
If she's 16, if she decides to engage constructively in therapy, she can recover to a great, great degree. The brain is pliable and plastic. It can still make new neurons. The decisions we make can work toward our brain developing healthy connections and patterns and so forth. So all is not lost at this point, but it really will depend on what direction, what choice this young lady makes to engage in either the recovery process or does she resist, fight, and oppose all interventions to help her. That's really the key.
Well, and Dr. Jennings, I wanted to follow up by asking you about that. Nadine, if you just stay with us for a moment, I wanted to find out from Dr. Jennings, when you have a person that, by the use of drugs, they have weakened their ability of their thinking processes and so forth, what kind of interventions can take place to get that person back to where they have developed, their brain has developed, so that they can make wise decisions? I mean, it almost seems like for an adult that chooses not to because they've created the situation they're in, without outside intervention, it almost seems impossible.
I say this sincerely. The intervention is prison. And the reason for that, when your child is little, small, and they're acting out, parents will put a child in time out. Take them out of their circulation that's causing all the trouble to give them time to think and reevaluate so they can start off in a better way when they come out of time out. The brain of people who have been in addictions have been so damaged. They have such little self-control. The cravings and the parts of the brain that drive the desire for it are so intense that these people basically don't have the ability to self-control anymore. And they need opportunity where they don't have access long enough for the neurons to rehabilitate, the brain to heal, so that they can recover some clear thinking, some self-control. And oftentimes what's needed for that is for them to be taken out of society for a period of time to allow that to to happen. It's a sad thing, but sometimes that's necessary. Now, if not prison, then some other structured environment, a therapeutic inpatient setting, a very structured family environment, but it's very rare that a family can provide that kind of structure, right? Because the family usually has their own interrelated dependency issues with an addict called codependency, where they are too easily manipulated by their own family members to actually provide the structure needed for somebody with an addiction.
So if there's any way for a person like this to be put in a secure setting, you know, that's not prison, but, you know, some kind of rehab center or something that's a secure setting, would that be ideal?
It would. And I said prison simply because so many people have a loved one in prison, and they get so discouraged about that. But I say it so they can see that as a positive thing, as an opportunity for healing and hope to let that brain heal. And it's not necessarily a bad thing if it happens.
All right. Nadine, anything else? Hopefully some of that has been helpful to you, and we would encourage you not to lose hope. We also can pray. And Nadine, we're going to put you on a prayer list here for your daughter, because the Lord also can intervene as well. And anything else so quickly that you have that you want to share?
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Nadine. God bless. We have to go to break. We'll be right back. Our number is 800-775-4673. You can call and join us on the air. We have two books, Could It Be This Simple, that we're giving away today by way of drawing at the end of the program. 800-775-4673. Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking today about the destroyers from within. If you would like to join us on the air, you can do that, 800-775-4673. This is a live program if you are on one of the many Life Talk radio stations across the country. If you're on the Hope Channel, the North American feed, or the Internet, you can pick up the phone and be part of what we're doing here today. The number, 800-775-HOPE. Now, we have a book that we're giving away today. This is by our guest. It is entitled, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. It is by psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings. And this book has been very, very well received. And if you call in today, you'll have an opportunity for us to send one of these out free of charge to you. Also, we have told you where you can get one. Let's tell everyone again where they can get one, Dr. Jennings, if they would like to find it, and they don't get this one today.
Well, they can get it at any bookstore, should be able to order from in America anyway, Amazon.com, our website, comeandreason.com, or any Adventist Book Center.
All right. That's where you can find one. And I know that if you get this book, you really, really will enjoy it. Joshua, this is recorded in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. He said to the people of Israel, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua made a good choice. And Dr. Jennings, even after the fall, of course, we have a choice, don't we?
And it's incredible, the power of choice. In fact, I'm going to say something that some of your listeners may find astounding. God cannot heal us. God cannot save us without our choice.
Yes, absolutely.
And what's happening when we make a choice is that there's actually physiologic changes in the brain that occur based on the choices we make, either choices for health, choices for sin. Neural networks are changed. Certain proteins are produced. Other proteins are not produced, which will cause certain neurons to strengthen and expand. Other neurons will die. Based on the decision and the power of the will and what choices we make, we send electrical energy down the circuits that we are choosing to activate, thus strengthening and expanding those, and the circuits we allow to become dormant and idle will eventually be degraded. Thus, as Joshua said, choose ye this day who you serve. You strengthen the neural circuits that are loyal and faithful to God.
Now, without falling into the pit of perfectionism, I want our audience to know that we're not going there. We know, of course, the Bible is very, very clear that we are saved by the grace of God. It is very clear that we are not going to be like God had Adam and Eve perfectly created in the beginning until we enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Sure, sure.
However, we do know that at sin, certain deteriorations started taking place in the brain.
Right.
We also know that by beholding, we become changed.
That's right.
And that the brain can be improved, and that we can have a closer walk with the Lord, and we can become more like Him. Let's talk about those things.
Yeah, and didn't Christ say he wants you to have life and have it abundantly? And that the Holy Spirit in Romans brings health to our bodies? Okay? And there's these connections. As we have healthier mental processes, the brain is wired into every part of your body. If you have a healthy mental process, as the Bible says, the merry heart doeth good like a medicine,
right. It
actually sends calming signals through the body, and we actually have better health. If we have an unhealthy mental process, we activate the stress systems of the body, kicking up stress hormones, which increase risk for heart attacks, strokes, and everything else. And so one of the ways we can have the abundant life now is by a closer walk with God, experiencing His methods, principles, character, love in our lives, and letting that flow out to others where we have that internal wellness and peace within. God wants that for us now, even though we're still in that, as you say, sinful body.
Well, you know, I do another program for Life Talk as well. I do one with Shari Gallimore and with Tricia Ellison, and we do that on Wednesday. And this coming week, we're going to look at one passage. We're looking at the Exodus story right now, but we're going to look at one passage that, to me, as I looked at that and studied that, I said, this is really a tremendous thought. Because as soon as the people of Israel got on the other side of the Red Sea, as they crossed the Red Sea, God told them at that juncture, I mean, this was very early in this new relationship that they had with Jehovah. Mm-hmm. And as they stood on the other side of the Red Sea, God said to them, He says, if you will do the things I ask you, that you will not have the diseases that the people of Egypt have that have followed all of these other gods.
Right.
And that goes beyond more than just a miraculous event. I don't want to remove that element from it either. But certainly there is something here that is more practical than just the miraculous, isn't there?
There sure is. And you can even look in the commandments. Honor your father and mother, that your days might be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives thee. A lot of people think, well, that's God acting to make sure you live a long time. Not necessarily so. Our first relationships in life are based on those family relationships. If we have healthy relationships where we love and honor our parents, that is a template for how we relate to other people. And if we're relating to other people in healthy ways, we have less stress, less tension, less conflict, which keeps the stress hormones down, which keeps us at more peace with a merry heart, which actually results in physiologic benefits and we live longer.
All right, all of us know that the Bible, numerous places, gives the call to repentance. So we have, for instance, a person, all of us are sinners, we know that, but let's take a person that has really departed from the Lord. They answer the call to repentance. What starts happening in their brain? We know what happens in the books of heaven. You know, there's great rejoicing, Jesus said, over one person that repents. So we know what takes place in heaven. But what about what takes place in that person's mind at that point?
They've gone from a position of fear and distrust of God to a position of trust in God. Repentance is really, I trust you, God. That's what it really is, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. And when you trust God, then you say, I trust you not just with my records in heaven. Right. I trust you with my heart, with my mind, with my life. I open myself up to you fully. And then Romans 5:5 says, He pours His love into our hearts. We actually experience divine love. A new motive, a new method, a new principle, a new desire for good is actually instilled from God as we open the heart and trust Him. And we begin acting out in loving and gracious and giving ways rather than in fearful and selfish ways. And perfect love casts out fear. You see, we're not afraid to love others now. We're not worried about what we're going to get because we trust God. He's got our back. He's taking care of us. I don't have to worry about getting for myself anymore. God's got all that covered for me. Mm-hmm. I'm free now to give because He's my supplier. He's my resource.
So a person then that turns to the Lord, they start developing new roadways in the mind that alter their behavior and they can become more like Jesus?
You bet. Absolutely. It's an actual transformation that begins here and now. And that's what Christ wants to develop. While we don't get new bodies, we absolutely develop Christ-like character here and now, which happens in the software of our minds.
We'll be right back. And when we get back, we're going to the phones. We'll first of all speak to Hazel in Washington. You can join us on the air, 800-775-4673. We would love to hear from you. So just pick up the phone. Join our discussion today. It's an important one. We look forward to hearing from you.
Do you have a question for today's show? Call 800-775-4673.
Too many Christians don't know the truth about dinosaurs, but Christian scientist Dr. Elaine Graham Kennedy is out to change that. Dr. Kennedy is a research scientist who has done field work at dig sites in remote places like Patagonia. She has spent her life studying dinosaurs. and now she has published a remarkable book called Dinosaurs, published by Pacific Press, that is both scientifically based and biblically sound. It answers the questions many Christians ask. Did dinosaurs really live? Are dinosaur bones fake? Who made the dinosaurs? What happened to them? And were dinosaurs on Noah's Ark? Dr. Kennedy's book, Dinosaurs, is filled with interesting facts, photographs, and colorful charts. It is a must for every Christian home and perfect for reading with your kids. To get a copy, visit www.pacificpress.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking today about the destroyers from within. Our number, 800-775-4673. If you would like to join us on the air, give us a call. It's always fun when you call in. And we have a book. We're giving two of these away. We're doing that by a drawing at the end of the program. Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind by our guest today, Dr. Tim Jennings. And it is a wonderful book. Those that have read it have really enjoyed it. I've heard a lot of good reports about it, and it's flying off the shelves. And so I know it is one that if you get that book, you will enjoy it tremendously. Our number, once again, if you want to join us, is 800-775-4673. Now, we've thrown a question out to you. It says, what Old Testament leader called on God's people to choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God? What was the name of that Old Testament biblical leader? And that's not a real hard question, so let's see if there's some biblical scholars out there that can help us out. 800-775-4673. Our guest today is psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings. He's an author, lecturer, and he appears on this program and other television and radio programs as well. And it's great to have him on the air with us. Let's go to the phones now. We're going to Washington State and speak with Hazel. Hazel, nice to have you with us.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
This is the same one, the same book. Could It Be This Simple?
That is the book.
I just tuned in. I'm in the car. I just tuned in, and I thought, that sounds very familiar. I remember last time I won the book, too.
Yes. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just listening to, I just think it's so neat that by beholding God and letting him come in, and learning more about him, and it crowds out the bad stuff, and the brain actually changes. And it happens physically, too. Dr. Nedley was saying this morning, if we leave off for an addiction, you have to leave the addiction totally alone, and pretty soon you break it, but you can't go back even once.
Right. Yeah, good point. Dr. Jennings?
Oh, I agree completely. And I would say, though, the idea that you can't go back even once, you can't go back even once if you want it broken. But if you do go back, which often happens with addicts who are working their way free of an addiction, they have relapses, that doesn't mean all is lost. You can still then, from that point forward, experience victory as you no longer engage in the addiction again. So I wouldn't want somebody to lose hope because they've gone a while without engaging in addiction and slipped up. Oh, all is lost. No, it's not. You can then pick it up and go forward again. If you think about our sinful lives, we've all had stumbles and falls, but the Lord never gives up on us, and we can pick up and continue with Him, and He can still heal and transform us.
What about the, Hazel, stay with us for just a minute. I want to ask Dr. Jennings something as a follow-up on this. What if a person, for instance, is a drug addict, and they get their treatment and so forth, then what has been commonly perceived and taught is that that person is always an addict or a alcoholic, et cetera, et cetera. Enlighten our audience a little bit about what that actually means.
Yeah, I actually disagree with that. I do.
Well, I do too.
Yeah, I actually don't think that's scriptural or biblical. I think the Bible teaches that there's an actual transformation of character that comes, that when we've been restored in the image of God as His plan is for us, that there comes a day when the idea of engaging in that addiction again is repulsive, is revolting, is disgusting to the person, and they would rather die than do it. And I would say at that point, they are no longer an addict.
Yeah, that's a great statement. I think that is very much tracks with what the Bible has to say on that issue. I mean, I cannot imagine the Apostle Paul seemed to really enjoy killing Christians. I cannot imagine after his conversion that he still had that same thrill.
Yeah, and the reason this is so
important, or the desire for it,
is because if you put the idea in the mind that you're always, once an addict, always an addict, then there's really no hope of actual freedom and deliverance. Now, I understand why they do it, because they don't want people in the early stages of recovery when denial is so high and they've gone 6 weeks without thinking everything or engaging in anything, and they go, okay, 6 weeks, I don't need this program anymore, I'm over it.
Right.
That's why they tell them that, because it's certainly in 6 weeks an addict hasn't dealt with all the issues to have a fully regenerate heart where it's a repulsive thing to them anymore.
And that makes sense.
Yeah.
But you know, if that statement applies, I think you can apply it to more than what just an alcoholic or a drug addict. It really could apply across the board to sinful behavior.
Once a sinner, always a sinner.
Yes.
No, that would be horrible, wouldn't it?
Yeah, the Lord does teach us about redemption.
Exactly.
Not only the life to come, but a changed life here. Hazel, we took over the conversation from you. Anything else that you would like to add?
No, I can't think of anything right now.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in, Hazel. God bless.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Well, those are great thoughts that she shared with us. Once again, we have the question that we have thrown out. What Old Testament leader called on God's people to choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God? The name of the Old Testament leader. Well, going to the New Testament, Dr. Jennings, John in the little book of 1 John says, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. From the standpoint of a Christian psychiatrist, what's he talking about?
Yeah, it's a great thing, and I'm glad you brought us back to that, because we talked earlier about when man fell into sin in the Garden of Eden, that the love and trust was broken and that fear and selfishness came in. John in 1 John is telling us that our fear and selfishness has three main avenues in which it's expressed in our lives. And those avenues are sensualism, which are all the sins of the pleasure, the pleasures of the senses, which such as sexual sins, gluttony, drug addictions, alcohol, all those things that we get physical pleasure from, lust of the flesh or sensualism. Lust of the eyes would be greed, materialism. And then the pride of life would be egotism, narcissism, self-exaltation, self-promotion. And fear and selfishness manifest differently in different people, but each one of us are born with a certain predisposition to have vulnerabilities in those areas. And that's what John is trying to tell us.
All right, let's get back to that in just a moment. 800-775-4673. If you'd like to join us on the air, feel free to do that. And we have this book we're giving away today, Could It Be This Simple? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Has Steve made you think today? Tell us about it. 800-775-4673.
Inspired by the Bible Experience. Matthew chapter 26, verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, as you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they plotted to arrest Jesus in some sly way and kill him.
This man needs to be stopped.
But not during the festival,
they said,
or there may be a riot among the people.
While Jesus was in Bethany in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant.
Why this waste? This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor.
Aware of this, Jesus said to them,
Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her.
You've been listening to Inspired by the Bible Experience, a fully dramatized audio production of the Bible, performed by an unprecedented ensemble of top name actors, pastors, musicians, and more. Inspired by the Bible Experience from Zondervan.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking today about the destroyers from within. And if you would like to join us on the air, feel free to do that, 800-775-4673. We are in the last segment, however, so if you're going to call, you need to do that rapidly, 800-775-4673. We have a book here, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind by our guest today, psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings. And it has been a book that has been extremely well received. So we're happy that he was kind enough to share a couple of these with us that we can make available to you today. You can have an opportunity to have one by simply picking up the phone, calling us, but once again, do that quickly. The number 800-775-4673. Dr. Jennings, right before we went to break, we were referring to the text in 1 John, where John talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And you were giving us a summation from the viewpoint of a Christian psychiatrist of what John was talking about.
Yes, basically that each one of us are born with certain vulnerabilities that make us more vulnerable in certain areas than others, and those areas would be some area of sensualism, which are those pleasures of the senses, materialism, which is greed and so forth, or egotism, pride. And the interesting thing is, as we indulge in such behaviors like that, we alter our gene expression to make those things even more of a problem for us. As we experience victories through God's grace, our gene expression is altered in a different way. And so we can have less and less of that vulnerability over time.
Let's talk about the issue of selfishness and fear.
Yes.
Perfect love casts out fear. We know. Mm-hmm. I mean, other places that we can turn in the Bible. We know Adam and Eve, the first thing that happened, that's recorded, that happened with them is they became very guilty and fearful because of their self-centered actions. Obviously, their attention at that point was on themselves, not on God
right.
or the relationship with Him. In your mind, as you look at what the Bible has to say, and you relate to this from the standpoint of modern science, psychiatrists, many in psychiatry, have looked down on religion.
Mm-hmm.
You come from a different standpoint, of course, because you're a Christian psychiatrist. Help us better understand how some of these things that we know from the biblical understanding of what the Lord is teaching, how do these fit into what we know today about the mind?
Well, I think the evidence is very clear that, and we see this in families, a mother who loves their children or her children will sacrifice herself for the welfare of the children. This is overruling the inherited temptation for self-centeredness. Her love is overruling it, and she's acting out in selfless ways because of her love for her children. So the family was designed to reveal that about God. So I would think that would just be a very simple way.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to the phones. This time we're going to speak to Sabino, I believe, if I have that correct. How are you doing today?
Real good, thank you.
So nice to have you on the air with us.
Thank you. I was just interested in how many other psychiatrists do you think support the position that you take? I think it's a very logical, I think it's an excellent position, but you're the first psychiatrist I've ever heard speak about the way things kind of evolve really differently as opposed to most psychiatrists.
Yeah, I haven't met any myself that really have expressed it in this way either. Much of psychiatry doesn't believe in God, believes that we've evolved from lower life forms, which is the common view amongst many psychiatrists. And so with that basis as a starting point, then they would naturally come to a different conclusion and see things differently than I do.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, most of them prescribe medication.
Oh, most of them prescribe medication?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, and that's not an uncommon thing.
Yeah.
And there are some appropriate times for that.
Sure, absolutely. Times and medications are the best. The science shows that it's very, very helpful in certain situations that medicines are the best alternative or option we have at this point in time.
Right. For instance, let me just give a quick example. I know the Lord did not create me with a broken arm, but if I break my arm, I may need some additional assistance at times.
You bet.
All right.
You bet.
Good analogy?
Yeah, good analogy.
Sabino, thank you so much for calling. Anything
you.
Else? All right. Great to hear from you from Arizona. God bless.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Let's go to North Carolina now, and we're going to speak with Myrtle. Myrtle, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. I want to ask the doctor what you can do to help a recently discharged veteran that's having a really hard time adjusting back into society.
Myrtle, tremendous question, a very relevant question.
Yeah, great question. I spent 8 years in the Army. I was a division psychiatrist for the 3rd Infantry Division and the 24th Infantry Division, so I do have some experience dealing with veterans who have been in combat situations. And it's extremely important that they get involved with somebody who is knowledgeable about post-traumatic stress issues and process through those issues with someone, because it is... Combat experience is an abnormal experience. We were not designed to kill each other. And the reactions that people have in combat are normal reactions to an abnormal experience. And therefore, it is extremely important they get in with somebody who's knowledgeable, who can help them process through those, to come to a life history that they can look back on with some sense of peace within themselves. Oftentimes what happens is the events are distorted in their memory because when we're under high stress, such as in combat, our ability to accurately remember and lay down memories in an accurate way is altered by the high stress level that we're in. And therefore, we can come away with ideas or conclusions about our experiences that are not entirely accurate. A good therapist with experience can help them process through these things in a way that can bring them a better sense of acceptance of what has happened to them. And ultimately, that can be very helpful. Also, depending on the specific issues you're dealing with, sometimes medications can be beneficial. But in my experience, medications are not as helpful as actually reprocessing through the events themselves to come to a life history that they can have peace with. I actually give one example in my book of a veteran who I dealt with, who had these very similar issues, and how we processed through it together and how it changed his life when he saw it in a new way.
Is that helpful, Myrtle?
Well, somewhat. He was wounded in the ankle, and his last remark to me was that he just simply could not comprehend why they would have devotion and prayer and all that in a little huddle, you know, and then go out and kill people.
Yeah. Because they have a different concept of who God is than we do, Myrtle. Or I shouldn't say we do, than I do anyway. Because the God I have, that I serve, would rather have you give your life than to take somebody else's life. But there are some conceptions of God that many people in the world have, including within Christian circles, that would have you go out and take somebody's life in God's name. That's why we had the conflicts in Northern Ireland for so long amongst Christians. So
right. Yeah. Well, Myrtle, we're at the end of the program, and my apology, we do have to go, but thank you so much for calling in.
And he's no better, seems to me, like when he come back than he was when he went.
Okay. Well, Myrtle, we wish we had more time, but we really are out of time. I want to thank you for calling, and God bless. It's a tough situation to deal with, I know.
I hope his comments helped somebody else.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right, the book is going to Nadine in Canada and Myrtle in North Carolina. For those of you that we could not get to, my apologies. The answer to the question was Moses. To each of you, thank you for being with us today. And Dr. Jennings, once again, thank you so much
for
being with
me.
Us here today. We wish each of you God's blessing and stay close to Him. Look forward to speaking with you next time.
Thank you for listening to Steve Gallimore Live. We're here Monday through Friday to help you think critically about the current world events from a biblical worldview. We would like to say a special thank you to those who faithfully support Life Talk through financial gifts. You make it possible to continue sending out a clear and undiluted message of hope in a world that's pulling apart at the seams. For more information on how you can participate in this vital ministry, visit our website, lifetalk.net. Or call toll-free 800-775-4673. Thanks also to our research volunteers and our radio and television production teams. Please join us tomorrow for Steve Gallimore Live.
Hi, I'm Mary Welchel, host of the weekend program The Christian Working Woman. Life Talk Radio is here to connect you with Christ.
One of the best things about this time of the year is the start of baseball season. Whether you follow the professional teams or just like to play softball with your friends, the start of baseball season means good times, better weather, and much-needed exercise. The idea of team sports is a good one, and that team concept should apply to life as well. Knowing that we can rely on a good friend or a special family member is really important. We all need that support in our lives. Life is just too difficult to be a lone ranger. Christian radio is a great companion, so allow me to paraphrase an old advertising slogan. Baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Christian radio. That's a pretty good combination, I'd say.
Bring us along with you as you head out this spring. We make a great companion. As life gets a little busier, remember to continue to support us financially. That helps keep Life Talk Radio on the air.